a matriarchal society, I apologize. And then immediately you have Jason Statham being like a fucking horn dog. If this is a matriarchal society, he would be openly chastised and criticized for his incessant rapey vibes.
Yeah, it was a little off-putting for sure.
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're going to go out of your way to say this is a matriarchal society, maybe turn the tables then. Maybe make Mel a horn dog or something. Like, oh, this could be our last chance. You know, like in Cabin Fever when the girl's like, if an airplane's going down, would you grab the closest person next to you and fuck them or something?
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah. Like have her have like that kind of thing, because it's a matriarchal society. Jesus Christ.
It was a predominantly female cast too, so there could have been some
shitty fucking movie.
There could have been some of that.
Brennan, you are racist for that. And welcome back.
Am I? Because there's one black guy in it. Oh no, there's a few. Oh, sorry.
And his brother.
Definitely more than one.
Welcome back to another episode of Ruminations of Red Rum. Today, I am your host, Ian Two E's, the ghost of Ian, the ghost of Mars is what we're covering today.
Oh,
but
you can finally say it.
The ghost of Mars. To my virtual left, joining us today, to my virtual right, we have Cletus, Kevin, Kyle.
Jesus Christ, bro.
Kyle.
Cletus with a K. Yeah. I'm better. I feel 110% better. I feel alive again. I'm kicking. How are you doing, Ian?
Good. I'm not the one who looks thinner, though. I do look white and pasty as always, but that's just my normal skin complexion. Mm-hmm. Also, joining us to my virtual left, we have the man with the plan, the absolute G unit. Fantastic. Mr. Elastic. Savior of San Francisco. Brennan Jesus Ortega Madison, how you doing?
Ni hao, I'm Kylan. For some reason, a Kylan video popped up on YouTube earlier, and that's been in my head. I am fantastic. I'm happy to be here. We're finally, after a year of saying we're going to cover Ghost of Mars, and then like a day before, we're like, actually, let's do something else.
Yeah.
We're finally covering Ghost of Mars.
Yeah, we have a few like that, don't we?
Yeah.
Like, isn't there another one that we keep saying, like, we want to cover?
Return to House on Haunted Hill 2, a movie that I watched two different times before recording, and then for some reason we never did it.
Well, why did you watch it two more times?
Because you said...
Why didn't you just watch it one more time?
Because I have to watch it every time before we record.
Oh, okay. I thought you, like, watched it already, and then we said we were going to do the episode, and then you watched it two more times.
No, the only time I've watched that movie is... And, oh, God, that movie's fucking awful.
I can't wait to watch it. I own it. I need to watch it.
We've watched a lot of awful movies that we haven't committed to. Well, at least me and Brennan have. Kyle, any suggestions this week? Anything you were doing while you were sick on your deathbed, dying? A gruesome death, but you're alive now. So how you doing? What are you doing?
So I ordered True Lies and Aliens on 4K. So what I'm gonna do is obviously get True Lies out of my system because I haven't seen it in forever, and it's one of my favorite movies of all time. And I just need to watch it. I need to give it the 5 stars that it deserves and move on with my life. Brennan.
Because I think we talked about it on the show, how they did that like AI 4K restoration where like a lot of it... Was it that movie or
a
different Arnie movie?
From what I understand, he didn't have his hand in the restoration. I don't know why I tried to rhyme.
I understand.
In the restoration of the True Lies one. So yeah, I heard the True Lies one has changed in a lot of negative ways. Which sucks. I still just want to own it on 4K.
So are you going to watch?
There's not really a good way to own the film, though. So it's like really one of the only at this point.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I'm still going to watch it. I'm still going to love it. It's going to be great.
That's a James Cameron movie.
Right? I love James Cameron. So I'm a big James Cameron fan.
You would.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you would.
I'm sorry, not sorry. But also excited to rewatch Aliens because I haven't seen that in since I was a kid, honestly. It's been probably 15 plus years since I've seen Aliens. So I'm very excited to rewatch that. That one is supposed to be a masterclass in restoration, and it's supposed to be fucking insane. So I'm very excited to watch that on my sound system, on my TV and all that. And I'm going to go through all the Aliens to watch the new one. So very excited.
All of them? Even the prequels?
All of them.
Even the sequels?
Yeah, because I remember seeing Prometheus and thinking it was mid. But I think I was just in the wrong state of mind. I was in my mid to early 20s, and I was just like, you know, I was a different person back then. So I kind of want to rewatch it. And then the one that came out.
You were like Ian was, like, the like the only time I've known him except like the past 2 months.
Yeah, kind of. I was, so when I saw Prometheus, I was Ian like maybe a year or two ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just, you know, wrong state of mind. Your brain's not fully developed at that point. You'll get there.
A few years later, your girlfriend will as well.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry. I'm done with those jokes. I'm sorry.
But what was I going to say? There was a movie after Prometheus too, right? Covenant?
Alien Covenant.
Yeah, so I got to see that too.
Shit on. But it's so good. It's got...
It looked cool.
What's his name?
Is Guy Pearce also Danny McBride. In that one?
Oh, yeah.
Guy Pearce, maybe in a flashback.
Wait, so is Prometheus legitimately within the Alien universe?
Yeah.
Or okay, so it's not just like a tangential thing.
No. And so, then if the hype train is going on long enough, I might even jump into Alien Isolation because I've never finished it. So I think I need
game
to.
Looks that, awful.
That it's not awful, actually. And you might be thinking of a different Alien game because this is one of the best movie game things. And it's also canon. Like Ridley Scott says it's canon. It's canon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
it's that's canon. Rare.
Yeah. So
still going to play that one.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite franchises of all time.
I think during the hype train of watching the movies, it's just going to come naturally. Mm-hmm. So,
I have it. So I will.
I own it on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation. So, got to take my pick at this point. I got it for free on two of them because it was like the game of the month thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But
Brendan, Rex for this week. What you been doing?
I just finished an advanced copy of this really great book that comes out in 6 days. It's if you've ever heard of the yeah.
This is the first time I've ever heard of an advanced copy of a book. I think that's cool. I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh yeah. It's like either the author or the PR team sends out like advanced copies to people for like reviews and blurbs and stuff.
That's cool.
But if you've ever heard of the Genre Blast Film Festival, it's one of the top 50 genre festivals, I think, in the world. The founder of it, his name is Nathan Ludwig. He wrote this book a few years ago called Love Potion Number 666. And he just released he's releasing the second edition of it that has a bunch of deleted scenes, extended scenes. And it is this sleazy grindhouse road story. And it's basically, it feels like if Jack Hill, the guy who did like Spider Baby and stuff, it feels like if Jack Hill did a spinoff series of the sci-fi original series Blood Drive. It is fucking wild. I highly recommend it. And the one other movie I just have to give a shout out to, I'm covering Panic Fest right now, and Tony Burgess, the guy that wrote the Pontypool movie that we covered a while ago, I didn't know this, but he has a new movie that he wrote and stars in that's screening at Panic Fest. It's called The Hyperborean, and that is in my top three favorite conspiracy theories because it directly correlates with the Hollow Earth conspiracy theory. So when I found out that one of my favorite writers wrote a movie about one of my favorite conspiracy theories, I was so fucking excited. The Hyperborean is truly a 5-star film.
Damn.
And not just like a me with rose-colored glasses thing on, like, it is a truly, it kind of feels like Pontypool, like, with how he writes in his dialogue. It's just no notes.
Nice, dude.
That's awesome. Sounds like you had a good week. Really good
week. Yes.
And Hollow Earth, just like Godzilla vs. Kong. Exactly.
That is true. I heard that there is Hollow Earth stuff in.
Yeah.
And that makes me kind of really want to watch the Godzilla movies because of that.
Yeah, it's where the wizard monkey comes from. What did I do? Thanks for asking. I watched new movie.
Hey, Ian.
Hey, Kyle.
What do you have to?
Oh, snap.
Thanks. I guess you're just going to ignore the fact that I said, what about you?
Dang. He's a bitch.
I watched the first Omen in theaters. Another one of my favorite franchises. I fucking love the Omen trilogy. It's amazing. And this movie, I wanted to love because I'm a big fan of prequels. It just wasn't unique enough for me. I like when they get crazy. This one had similarities in a lot of different films. Kyle, with Kay.
Cletus. You don't hear too many people say that they're a fan of prequels. Like, why are you a fan of prequels?
If I like a character and I like a story, I like to see the origin of that story. Like with Sadako, the Ringu series, my favorite of that series is Ringu Zero, which isn't really a horror film. It's more like a drama, a weird Japanese drama. But it's amazing, and I love it because I love the story of Sadako.
What if it's like a prequel that has nothing to do with the original character?
Then that's different. But if it's the same story...
Do you still feel the same?
That's where this movie lies, I think. It didn't have Damien. Obviously, this was before Damien's birth. But I did still enjoy the story of this one. And I liked the story of the mom and how Damien came to be. But there was a scene. It started to have me until there was the scene of from The Possession was in it. And I don't know. I guess if people haven't seen that movie and they go in and watch it and they're like, whoa, this is crazy. Never seen that before. I can see them giving it a high rating and giving this movie high praise. But I don't know. It's already happened and it happened the exact same way in this movie. So for that, I just couldn't love it. But I did really enjoy it. And then I watched Kindergarten Cop, and that was amazing.
I love that movie so
Spoiler
much.
Spoiler alert.
I love that movie so much.
It's not a tumor.
I love Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah. But we're not here to talk about amazing Arnold Schwartz films. We're not here to talk about Brendan.
He was my governor.
If you want to fill in the rest of that name, Brendan, feel free. We're not
It wasn't racist until you made it racist.
We're not here to talk about no festivals that Brendan's mentioned. We're not here to talk about the new video games that Kyle's wanting to watch.
Do you realize how excited I was being a kid growing up on Arnold Schwarzenegger movies? And my mom's flipping through the channels and she's like, hey, the governor of California is now Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I was like, let's fucking go. So excited. Let's get in some.
We're here to talk about the 2001 John Carpenter absolute banger, Ghosts of Mars. But before we go into our review, and where'd we watch it? Would we add it to our collection? We're going to get into some.
Ghosts of Mars is a 2001 space western action horror film from writers John Carpenter and Larry Salkis, directed by John Carpenter. On a budget of $28 million, Ghosts of Mars would barely scrape half of that back with $14 million. On top of being an extreme financial disappointment, it was also critically panned. Even lead actor Ice Cube has spoken out so many times about how much he absolutely despises this film. For a long time, rumors surrounded Ghosts of Mars, saying that it was originally an escape prequel, which I think we could all kind of see that. Carpenter has recently cleared that up, saying that it was not. The role of Melanie was actually cast with Courtney Love, but due to an injury caused by her boyfriend's ex-wife, she had to pull out a week before shooting, and that's when Natasha Henstridge, that's a weird name, would take the role. Just 1 week before shooting. Thankfully, John Carpenter decided to change the original trajectory of this film as he had written it to be a musical where Ice Cube would rap during the flashbacks and the Ghosts of Mars were a dance troupe. Ghosts of Mars was supposed to be a chill project for Carpenter, but the production proved to be so taxing and frustrating that John Carpenter straight up quit feature filmmaking for 10 years and he moved out of Hollywood. In those 10 years, Ghosts of Mars would go on to gain a deep cult following and would even get a beautiful indicator release, chock full of some great special features. All aboard, motherfuckers. It's finally time to talk about Ghosts of Mars.
I think that was the best fear facts I've ever heard or I've ever paid attention to.
Why? Because I didn't shit on Daft Punk.
Paid attention to.
That was, before we get, do we want to dissect any of that? The musical thing, the escape from prequel,
well,
like that?
So the reason John Carpenter said he changed that up was because he said he realized Ice Cube was a better actor than he was rapper.
Ooh, what? That is.
I mean, he did like pretty much quit rapping for a long time and yeah. He tried to triple down on acting. So if anything, I mean, Ice Cube probably would have took that as a compliment at the time.
But I mean,
I don't know how, it depends how it was said, you know, what kind of context was used. But
I'm correct in remembering Ice Cube. What group was he in? He was in.
He was a solo artist. Well, NWA. I mean, well, he was a part of.
He was in NWA, right?
Right.
Then went, yeah. one of the most influential rap groups of all time. That is a weird thing for John Carpenter to say.
Also, you know, the talent that comes out of groups like that, that go, there's always like, there's the Destiny's Child and then there's Beyonce, there's mm-hmm. the NWA and then there's Ice Cube. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's always the split offs. There's NSYNC and then there's Justin Timberlake. He was really the one that had a lot of the talent.
There's New Kids Nirvana. On the Block, and then there's Donnie Wahlberg.
And then there's Daddy, baby!
Best cop ever. Top five, at least. And then the escape from prequel. Like, it's totally an escape from prequel, right?
It is.
Like, they have to go in to get a prisoner. That's Snake. Mm-hmm. He's a badass character, has some awesome lines.
Are you saying, like,
himself.
It actually, like, a prequel in it's in the lore of Escape From?
No.
Are you saying just
did
in, like,
did I say
a
prequel,
spiritual
I meant,
sense?
Did I say prequel? I meant sequel. I'm sorry.
Oh, a sequel. Okay.
Because this would have been a good prequel. This would have been the Atlanta
prequel.
Thing, right?
Like
Snake was the one in the prison.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they have to break him out. He's the badass. Oh, my God. Heavy. This is amazing. You're enhancing the film with your fear, Brendan. Thank you.
That was not my goal.
Your goal.
His goal was to shit on it through the fear of
accident. And I think I did a good job
like,
of that.
I'm taking all this in right now, and I'm bumping up my score.
Literally enhanced it.
That's hilarious.
I'm starstruck. But we are going to throw it over to, who do I usually start with? Kyle? I'm going to go back to Brendan.
Oh my God, Kyle.
You call me out.
Listen.
I got to do it.
Listen, Ian.
I don't. Where'd you watch it? Would you add it to your collection? What'd you think of the movie?
So I watched this on the gorgeous Indicator 4K Blu-ray that I got when I was in London. So I do own it, and I will be throwing it in the trash after this.
Send it to me. Send it to me. Send it to me.
Let's see.
I thought you were saying same as me. And no. I was like, yes.
Send it to me.
I'm kidding. No, I very much did not enjoy the overwhelming majority of this movie. Jason Statham's character was this character should have killed his career. His career should have been dead in the fucking water.
See, that's where he got off, though, is that this was right before he like really struck gold. It was like after Transporter.
This was right after Lock, Stock, but before Snatch.
Right, but in that sense, also too, Lock, Stock was very niche in America. Mm-hmm. Like it was more of a European movie. So like,
and then Snatch kind of.
Yeah, his American audience door didn't really open up yet. So everybody thought this guy was just a throwaway, cringy motherfucker at the time.
Do you think it was the Italian Job in The Transporter that really got him like big American
Italian
fame?
Job was huge back in the day. Lot of promotional marketing and shit. I remember that. Big deal.
Marky Mark.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that I very much did enjoy with this film was the constant fade cuts, wipe cuts, weird passages of time when someone's just walking down a fucking hall. My favorite moment is when Dose gets high as shit and then chops his thumb off. And can we talk about just one quick fucking thing? These detonators, the amount of times that they say these detonators would be helpful if we had some dynamite, and then at the end of the film Ice Cube just starts throwing the detonators and they start exploding.
Well, there was a weird cut between him saying if only we had dynamite, and then it just cut to them as a group.
And then but then they put them in cans of, they put like 10 of them in cans of dog food.
Yeah, I think that it was implied that they made makeshift some dynamite somehow.
Yeah, I thought they were still keeping the detonators with, because we even see in the outside fight they throw the cans of dog food that have the detonators in them.
Yeah,
and even though Dose lands on top of one of them and it explodes, he's fine.
I don't know. I was too distracted by the amazing score that was going on. I wasn't paying attention to the cans of dog food.
I should have put that in my fear facts. There was like Anthrax, Buckethead.
Was that them?
Yeah. The whole score
was done by Carpenter.
No. The score was done by John Carpenter, but bands like Anthrax, Buckethead from 21
so he
Pilots?
Composed it, they played it.
That was a good Buckethead joke. So he had a bunch of like big rock star and new metal stars
play his
his
stuff. Okay.
And would you add this to your collection, Brendan? Are you gonna keep it in your collection? Sorry.
Yes.
Oh,
I'm gonna keep
it
in my collection.
If you don't, I want it. Kyle. Kevin Conroy
Cletus
with a K. Where'd you watch it? Would you add it? What'd you think?
What is cinema?
Yeah.
How's it feel, Brennan? Baby! I'm kidding. I watched this on Apple TV. I rented it because it's not streaming anywhere. So $3.99. Where do I even begin? Like, I don't know where I want to start with this. First and foremost, I'm going to lead with John Carpenter. Huge fan of John Carpenter. I like all of his work. Every time I see movies like this of his during this era, I get more appreciative of everything else he does. Not because this is worse than his other stuff, but because it's so unapologetically him. And like this the 90s era of Carpenter. Burning question.
Have you seen the house that Jack built?
No.
So it's basically just Lars von Trier paying homage to himself. This movie feels a lot to me like that, where it is just John Carpenter saying, I'm a horror icon. I'm going to make a movie that if someone didn't know who directed it, they would say, this feels like someone's watched a lot of John Carpenter movies.
See, to me, it doesn't. To me, what it feels like is you have these legacy directors like George Romero and John Carpenter who make movies in a modern world for them. Now, this is a long time ago for us. This is 20 years ago for us. But to them, this was at the end of their road almost during this time period. This is like at the almost the finish line. Even though Carpenter's still alive, this was like at the end of his road. He made maybe a couple movies after this, tops.
He made one more with Amber Heard.
Exactly, The Ward, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. So yeah, this was the end of his road. And so this is a established 80s director making a modern age movie. And it doesn't look modern now, and it doesn't seem modern to us, but this was modern to him. This was post-Matrix. Right? So this looks, I thought this movie was a 90s movie the whole time I was watching it. And it's not until I looked it up that I saw it was 2001. I was like, are you kidding me? I thought this was like 96.
Great year.
Great year. So my point being is like George Romero post 28 Days Later, post ironically Dawn of the Dead remake, makes something like Land of the Dead, a modern blockbuster movie, which is great in all respects, but then goes back to making like this stuff that he likes to make with survival and something more akin to his like personality and sensibilities, right? And John Carpenter, in a lot of ways, the 90s was the end of his road. It was like the same thing. It was like this 70s and 80s director making 90s movies in the style of 70s and 80s action movies. And you feel that when you're watching it. It doesn't seem cheesy. It seems 80s. And it doesn't, in like a lot of different ways, it would feel like a cop-out. But you see his pedigree. He makes good films. And that's why I never understood the argument with people who think that like Escape from LA and this are like him. Not that they're not bad films, but like that it's him losing his touch on making film. I feel like he's made the same kind of films since the beginning. It's just the age and the process of making films and everything that goes along with it didn't age with his style. So he's still making them his way. It's just, it doesn't translate as well as like a lot of other things do, unless you're seeing what he's trying to do and he's trying to make an 80s action movie. This is a movie where Martians that were lizards die and their ghost gets trapped and spread and take over people. It's ridiculous. It's an 80s premise. It's insane. But I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. It's not a great movie, but I did enjoy it. Yeah, I'm going to buy The Indicator.
Whew. Wow. That was a rant.
I think that was maybe the greatest thing you've ever said.
Let's just get into reviews. Final scores.
Well, wait, hold on. Oh, that was a bit. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I watched this on YouTube. I tried to cop out and watch it in other forms, but I couldn't find a good
copy. No.
But I paid my $4, paid my $4 in high definition, for this movie. And,
I'm proud of you.
It's
gross.
Yeah, I haven't done that in a while. I haven't done it in a while. Is it bad? Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of bad, but it's a lot of fun. You know, if you can accept how bad it is and just ride the wave of fun, then you can enjoy this film. I would love to add it to my collection. I don't think I'll get the indicator release, but if a, I feel like someone like Arrow Video could pick this up, possibly, for sure. They have Terraformers.
I thought Arrow was indicator.
No.
They do have, like, the rainbow thing, though, at the top.
It is, like, the color grade?
Similar. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But I think I'm going to wait. I don't need this movie immediately, but I, you know how we talked about movies we wish we watched, in our, you know, that we, we kind of regret watching later. This is a movie to me that I would have loved. Dude,
you know what? I completely, if I would have watched this when I was like 13, 14, this movie would have been my identity.
Yeah. I feel, dude, if I would have watched this movie at the same time I was watching Escape from LA, I would have grown up loving this movie, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed. I wouldn't go as far as saying that this is a bad movie. And I think this is where you and me and you guys are going to disagree, but like we're seeing it in two different ways. And I understand that. I can see why somebody thinks it's a bad movie. I get that. I'm seeing it in a different lens. And I think that this movie is so John Carpenter. It doesn't have bad acting. I said it. It doesn't have bad acting.
I'm the ghost of Mars.
I said it.
But
like, think about like the word. Think about like your Dracula 3Ds and shit, right? Like, that's bad acting.
Okay. Yeah. That's a note I wanted to bring up real quick. Have you noticed almost a very similar career trajectory between Dario Argento and John Carpenter? Because throughout the 70s and 80s, they made the absolute bangers of horror movies, and I'm going to include the escape films as horror films just for this example. So they make these great fucking horror movies throughout the entirety of their career, and then in the early 2000s they both make a shitter horror movie, John Carpenter with Ghost, Dario Argento with Dracula 3D, and then they both just disappear. They both do Masters of Horror in 2005, but then they both come back. For Carpenter, it was 10 years later. For Dario Argento, he came back in 2022 with Dark Glasses. But then they come back with almost a redemption film, but it's mixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that that's kind of what I was talking about, is like, it's these old heads, these legacy directors who just want to make movies in the time that they're comfortable, that they lived, that they peaked, not peaked necessarily, that's not what I mean, but like,
I know
that's them, that's their style, you know what I mean? Like, I engulf 2000s, that's like my personality, like everything about me is 2000s. So if I was to make a film, a lot of that sensibility would come out, like I guarantee you, and it may not translate unless I could do it in like a modern way, which not everybody either can or wants to. And I don't think that a lot of these directors want to. They don't, like, they're, a few of these directors are making movies for them, right? Like, they're not making them for the audience necessarily. And I think that, dude, if you, hold on one second. If you listen to any interview that Carpenter does, he is so nonchalant, like, yeah, I fucking love it. Or yeah, da, da, da. Oh yeah, did you hear about these like negative reviews or people hating this? He's like, oh yeah, I don't fucking care. Yeah. Like he doesn't care. Like, he's making the shit he wants to make.
So I think that's the difference between a filmmaker like Steven Spielberg and a filmmaker like John Carpenter. I feel like Steven accepts technology and wants to work with it. Someone like John Carpenter kind of doesn't really understand it fully, and maybe he doesn't even want to. And that's the difference between their films.
Although I will say, and I understand your argument there, but I think that is very much comparing apples to oranges, because they're working on two completely different fields. Because Steven Spielberg is like Chris Nolan or Ridley Scott or Tony Scott. They have to, you know, they have to do a studio film, one for them, one for me, one for them, one for me. John Carpenter can get the indie funding that he needs through any channel. John Carpenter could go to fucking Bloody Disgusting and say, give me $10 million to make this indie movie, this horror movie, and they'd give it to him. I do get what you're saying, though, but Steven Spielberg, I feel like he has to be up on the time. And I think he's kind of, he's shoehorned himself into this. Every movie that he makes now has to be bigger and badder, bigger and better than the last one.
I agree. I only compare them because it's just, you know.
No, yeah, I completely understand. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where to go from there. I think that this movie is super 2000s, and I think that it has a lot of similarities to some Paul W.S. Anderson films, like Resident Evil. Go ahead, Kyle. Go ahead.
You're in my wheelhouse now, baby! Okay, so to that point, too, Paul and also John are incredibly huge gaming nerds. Mm-hmm. And in something like Ghost of Mars, you see a lot of like dark space, nerdy ass fiction in this movie, in the sense of like old Wing Commander games, Star Wars Dark Forces, like the old, like, if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. The old people that are listening, when I say old, you know what I mean? Not really old, but it's got like he grew up liking games, playing games his entire life. So like this is literally Doom also in a lot of ways. Like he's always talked about how he wants to make a game. It's got those vibes, the hard rock, the Doom hard rock, even the aesthetic, it being on Mars like Doom. Like it's Doom is a huge game to him. He's talked about like, I don't know, man. It's just he likes to like pour out shit he likes on screen. That's what it feels like. Like Paul W.S. Anderson. Sorry, that was the correlation, or that was the connection.
I think where kind of going off what you just said, Kyle, I think where this movie falls very flat for me is the action, and not the gun-fu that they do, but more the physical fighting that they do. It feels so unrehearsed, half-assed. The punches don't feel like punches. Everything just feels so incredibly lazy. And it makes sense knowing that this was supposed to be John Carpenter's chill movie. His words. But it just, the fighting feels so tame and impactless that it made me not care about almost all of the action that happened.
I can agree.
Yeah, I feel like that they really missed an opportunity on the ghosts, for lack of a better word. Like, I don't know what you call the tribal.
They are the ghosts.
Like the ghosts. We'll just call them
ghost of Martians, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
It was really a missed opportunity to not have more like invasion into their holdup kind of areas.
Kind of like it wasn't until on Precinct 13, yeah.
Yes. Like it wasn't until the end where we really got that, which was a really cool scene with them backing up and taking turns reloading and shit. That was cool.
Okay. Admittedly, that was fucking awesome.
That was badass. But there was a lot of lulls in this movie. A lot of down moments where they really could have filled it in with more action. Not because it, you know what I mean?
Like when they were locked into the jail cell to like switch the power between the cops and the
That whole scene was so fucking stupid.
Oh, it was dumb.
I was not a fan of that.
Yeah, it was dumb.
It's like,
and they turn around. Oh, hey!
Oh my god!
It's like, come on, guys!
Because like, pull your fucking head off. Dos and Trace walk into the cell while right after Mel uncuffs Ice Cube, and she just literally like slinks out of the cell and locks the door. And they're like, "Hey, come on, that's not nice."
Yeah, that's probably my least favorite scene of this movie. It's so unnecessary, and it just took up time. I feel like they could have put that somewhere else. Like, I think the thing I wish they really doubled down on is making the ghost possession more of a presence, and like tiptoeing around the fact that they can't kill these things. Like, they're unkillable. If you kill them, the ghosts come out and they try to possess someone else. I feel like they should have doubled down on that, but they didn't. They just were like, fuck it. We should have just been killing them in the first place.
Yeah, because the one girl, like the scientist or whatever knows that once the body of a possessed gets killed, the ghost will keep. And so she just stands there. It's like, oh, it's around. Okay, well, let's wait and see who gets it next. It's like,
I wish
they kind of doubled down on that to like have a countermeasure so they could try to avoid it, try to defend themselves. Like it could have been like a defending from the outside, but also defending from the inside kind of scenario.
Which do you think
they didn't?
Do you think like a gas mask would be an effective like that thing?
Yeah, and they had to like take turns, and then I mean,
The hallucinogens.
This movie could have done better.
Yep.
That's our new segment. Gonna get into.
Yep.
I just didn't want to introduce it too soon, but I think that's my biggest thing is the ghost thing, the possession. Like they just kill so many people, so many of the Martians, and then they just the ghost just disappeared.
Yeah, like the great hallway scene, the reloading of the guns, and like how they're staggering that is cool, but they've killed what 50, 60 Martians. Does the ghost cloud accumulate? Is each dead body its own specific cloud? It turns into a big slimer. See, that would have been cool.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that would have been cool. Dude, fighting like a huge ghost cloud at the end, like a ghost, like,
or if there was like, dude, think of this. If there was like a mummy that they didn't uncover, and then the giant lizard Martian came in at the end.
Sucks up the cloud and it makes him like a mecha Martian.
Yes. So let's talk about the Martians real quick. So first and foremost, when the movie started, aside from playing that banger of an intro song, absolutely banger, I saw Greg Nicotero's name and I was like, all right, well, at least the movie's going to look good as far as like a makeup standpoint. It's going to be great. So I was excited for that right off the bat because I didn't know he had anything to do with it. And I think they all looked really cool. I really liked, like, for lack of a better word, the chieftain, like the head honcho. I thought he was really cool. I would have liked to have a little bit of a cooler showdown, but it was all right. It was all right. But to his point, to Ian's point, it would have been cool to have like a final boss moment with the person above him, the main puller of the strings. But was a sequel planned?
I would say no.
No? Based on that ending.
No.
I don't know.
The ghost cloud coming to the giant city, you don't think there's a sequel plan? I feel like there was. I feel like he was at least trying to put something there instead of a very ambiguous ending.
What do you guys think of the look of everything, though?
I think that the Martians look cool. And I kind of had a couple theories on why they were all scratched up and they kind of did their own thing. It was either to like
space
reject
madness,
or madness, or to reject the human body that conquered them, or something along the lines of that, like trying to mutilate
like
their
shame
body
and mutilate like the people who were invading.
I would disagree. I think John Carpenter did that because he probably thought it looked cool.
I mean,
there is no subtext. There is nothing deep in this movie. It is surface level and nothing more. This is the worst movie he's ever fucking written.
Oh my God.
And like, it's crazy because John Carpenter is very, not very, but he's made it clear about his politics and his political stances. And he said that he wanted to make this movie a matriarchal society so that the women didn't have to prove themselves. They spend the whole movie trying to prove themselves. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, this movie is one of the most surface level movies I think I've ever seen from an acclaimed genre director.
And I think for that reason is why, like, I genuinely couldn't think of anything like educated to ask you guys about this film. I mean, it's really just a surface level film.
But we can talk about that excellent amazing final shot when Ice Cube pulls up to Mel's hospital room with the chrome Uzis, and he looks at the camera and she just cocks her gun and then the movie's over.
It's the classic Resident Evil 1 to Resident Evil 2 scenario, right? Resident Evil 1, you got an isolated location, small cast, very, very small in premise, and then the thought of it opening up to something bigger, something huge, something grander, there's a bigger fight, there's a bigger enemy, there's a bigger... All those things are on the horizon when he kicks open that door and you hear the people screaming outside. You're like, this whole shit's about to open up. There's going to be crazier enemies, crazier events, crazier situations, and they're gonna... Oh man, it's just it brings out the kid in me, man. I love it.
Here's how I would have ended the movie.
Okay, let's hear it.
So we do know at one point that there was water on Mars. So now that we're re-terraforming Mars, we have like some lakes and some beaches up there, and the movie ends with Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg sitting on a beach smoking a blunt together, and the ghost cloud starts to make its way over to them, and they inhale the smoke and blow it out and get higher than they've ever been in their life. And that's the end.
Damn. I'd watch it.
It's a very Piranha 3D kind of ending.
Yeah.
nice. Kyle, do you have anything else to say about this film before we wrap it up?
Damn, we're wrapping up already. I'm trying to think. There has to be something.
Other than the amazing acting by Ice Cube and Jason Statham. And Natasha, the main actress, I really liked her. Oh, and Pam, is it Gruyere?
Pam Greer. Yeah. Pam Gruyere. Pam Greer. I fucking love Pam Greer.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's so
She gets an off-screen, she gets the most, she gets the worst death in the movie, and I don't mean worst as in like, oh, that would hurt the most, like, yeah. She gets killed off-screen, and then her head's on a pike.
No, I got nothing.
All right. Final thoughts and rating. Kyle.
No, Brad, go first.
Brendan.
What is not cinema? Oof. Hmm? I don't know. I was with the buildup that we had for this movie, I was hoping I would at least like it. I did not enjoy the overwhelming majority of this movie. It was honestly quite a bore to sit through, and I find that very unfortunate. So I will give this, I feel bad for this, but a 2 and no heart.
Do what you gotta do.
2 and no heart. Kyle.
I liked it. I thought it was fun. Can't wait to own it. Big John Carpenter fan. I'm gonna give this a 4 at the heart.
Okay.
I just saw a message in the Game Ruminations. Man, they really peaked with Silent Hill 2. I have no clue what that's in reference to. But
my score is perfect. It's right in between. Don't have to do any math. 3
and a
heart.
I thought you were gonna say a 5.
3 and a heart. I really like the story of this movie. Just the idea of ghosts of Martians coming to possess everyone. But it just wasn't executed very well. But it's, again, badass John Carpenter. I feel like the highest I can go is a 3. But average letter, ruminations of Red Rum rating of a 3 with a heart for Ghost of Mars 2001.
Cool.
That's fair. I think it's fair. But before we get into the world's greatest game show of all time, we've moved past podcasts, the world's greatest game show of all time. We're going to hit you with the official ruminations of Red Rum. Thick, juicy, milky, slushy. gurgitated, thick piss break. Please enjoy a message from our sponsors.
Hey kids, it's Don Shinhan from the Cinephile Hissy Fit, one of the podcasts on the Ruminations Radio Network. If you've been enjoying this show, come listen to Will Johnson and I fight it out over cinema's best and worst on Cinephile Hissy Fit. Find us and all the great shows over on ruminationsradionetwork.com.
Welcome back. I hope you had a glorious piss break. I know I did. It was amazing. We are going to get into our game show, What's in the Box? A game show where I will read a summary from the movie review website Letterboxd. My contestants will have will guess the score of the film. If they are within 3.3 of the score, they will get a point. If they're on the dot, they will get 2 points. They then move on to the decade. If they get that right, get another point. If they guess the year, they get another point. Are you guys ready? There is more to fear than you can see. Eight strangers awaken with no memory in a puzzling cube-shaped room where the laws of physics do not always apply.
2.7.
2.9. We have a 2.7, 2.9. Classic. No. Donuts on the board. This is sitting at a 2.3. Guess the decade.
90s.
Actually, 2.3. I think that's the remake.
Yeah, I'm going to say the 20s.
20s, yeah.
The 1920s. This confounding box. The physics do not apply.
Both going 2020s. 0 is on the board. This is the 2002 Cube 2 Hypercube.
Electric Boogaloo.
Boogaloo by Andres Sekula. It's a very name. Number 2. 0 is on the board. A world where the night never ends. A man struggles with memories of his past, including a wife he cannot remember. In a nightmarish world with no sun and run by beings with telekinetic powers who seek the souls of humans.
Hmm. I'll tell you my score, 3.5.
3.1.
Are you going with 3.5, Brennan?
Yeah.
So what do you say?
This is sitting at a 3.7. Brendan gets the point.
I have no fucking clue what movie this is, but on that description, I know that's what I'd give it.
Guess the decade.
Mm,
2010s. I'll say 2000s.
Got 2010s, 2000s. This is the 1998 film Dark City by Alex Proyas.
I have
also did iRobot. He did The Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely want to see this movie.
My mom's going to get that one.
It's supposed to be really good.
My mom's going to be screaming at her phone. I know it.
Big iRobot fan, is she?
No, she loves Dark City.
Number 3, we are sitting at Brendan 1, Kyle 0. Science transformed him into a monster. Love changed him even more. Mutilated by his own secret formula, Dr. Alec Holland becomes blank blank, a half-human, half-plant superhero who will stop at nothing to rescue sexy government agent Alice Cable and defeat his evil arch nemesis Arcane, even if it costs him his life.
This is Dark Man. Dougie. Hi, buddy. Do you want to guess the score?
What you gonna rate it, dude? Go ahead. Tell the audience. I'm gonna go.
Dougie, go, go.
Sorry.
No.
I'm gonna go. 3.4.
3.1.
Zeros on the board. This is 2.7. 2.7. Brennan, you have 1 point. Kyle, you have zero. This is the final round. Who can guess the decade? Go.
Look how happy he looks. I wish I could be that happy.
He's literally the devil incarnate. So,
God. guess the decade. 90s.
80s.
Brendan taking this game. This is the 19. Do we want to offer up the extra point?
We lost.
It's up to you, Brendan.
At 1986.
1982 film directed by Wes Craven, Swamp Thing.
Oh.
And with that being said, if you like, we've been the... that's a hard one. What do I say? Any ideas?
We have been
the terraforming podcast of the Ruminations Radio Network. If you like what we're doing here, give us a shout out on Twitter, OF Red Rum. That's over Red Rum. link to our Discord is in the bio. We're on literally anything you can listen to podcasts on, iTunes, Spotify. You know? Maybe there's possibilities for TikTok and YouTube and all that good stuff. I've been your host, Ian, Ghost of Ian, Ghost of Mars. Joining me virtually, to my virtual right, we have Cletus with a K.
Stay spooky.
And we have... I almost just said his name because I want to give you something nice. But
Brendan
with a B. Jesus, we're taking a message.
Hail Ratma and hail Dougie.